Well, if you got your Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. We're continuing on in our series called The One Thing, where we are learning that there is one thing that the Lord desires. There's one thing that's needful in our lives. The Bible repeats this phrase to describe to us this is the one reason you and I are on this planet, and why God created all these things to start with. And what is it for? Fellowship with God, to spend time in the Lord's presence. Amen. It is all about personal relationship with God. Amen. This is what God wants us doing. This is why He has us here. And until we fulfill this calling, this primary purpose for being here, we're going to live dissatisfied, empty lives, always trying to get that area of our life filled up with other things like money, relationships, which is interesting. It really works that way in the arena of relationships. It happened in my life this way. When I first got saved, man, I was spending time with the Lord. I was having my relationship with God where it needed to be for about 4 years. And then I just kind of took my foot off the gas a little bit. And when I started doing that, the things in me that desired those living waters started trying to have other things fulfilling it. So I started seeking relationships. Amen? I started dating. I started looking for somebody. And I'm telling you, God creates us to have relationship in our life. He wants us. We're here to be married. We're here to have children. We're here for these things. But those things are not to have you. Amen? It's okay to have those things. God doesn't want those things having you. This is why He said the calling for a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is to do what? To hate your father and mother, to hate your husband or wife. You know, it uses that phrase, right? And that's confusing to a lot of us because that seems like that's contrary to what the Lord calls us to do in terms of loving one another, right? Now, the way to understand that is that the Lord wants you, in comparison to your devotion to Him, it ought to seem like you hate everything else, particularly anything else that tries to get in the way of your relationship with the Lord. Amen? Has that ever happened in any of y'all's life? You get born again, you get saved, and then you got somebody, maybe it was a husband, you got saved, ladies, and then your husband was like, well, it's either me or Jesus. I'm telling you what, don't ever come to me and give me that ultimatum, because I will say, hasta la vista, baby, or whatever. I'll tell you, see ya, with a little bit of an attitude. Because why? It's about the Lord first. Amen? He needs to be first in your life. So when He's first in your life in regards to this fellowship and this relationship, everything else comes from that. Amen? What the things you're supposed to be doing for Him, your calling. And I run into this all the time. There are people in the church that are constantly, not this church, but in the universal church, that are always trying to figure out, Pastor, what's my calling? I want to know what I'm on this planet to do. Well, I usually take them to this verse. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. Amen? And you see, a lot of times when we read that about God being faithful, we kind of get this little church idea of what that's like. But think about it in terms of a relationship between a husband and a wife. Your heavenly husband is faithful. He ain't going to throw you away. He's not going to run around on you. See, this is the reason why Jesus spoke so much against divorce. A lot of times people don't understand that, and they make this kind of Pharisaical law about it and stuff like that, but it's really because God's all about commitment, because that's the way He is. Amen? How many of you know He don't throw you out? He don't write you a certificate of divorce because of every little mistake you make. You don't have to come up to this altar and keep getting born again, again, and again, and again. Amen? He's faithful to you. Amen? He sticks with you. And we looked at the example last week of Hosea and how the Lord illustrated this to the Jews. He told Hosea the prophet, go marry this woman named Gomer. Amen? Knowing good and well she's going to be running around on you. So she was unfaithful to him. She played the harlot. She was sleeping around. And the Lord said, go back and get her again. Go back and get her again. Why was he doing that? He was illustrating to them that as much as you are unfaithful to me, as much as you run around on me, I will never run around on you. I will never quit on you. He's faithful. Amen? As a good husband is. Because it says God is faithful by whom you were called So here we go. We're talking about what you're called to do, right? By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So ultimately, our calling is rooted in fellowship with God. So I ask you the question today, how is your fellowship with God? What is your relationship with God really like? Are we just doing religion? Are we just doing a bunch of good works? Are we just trying to avoid a bunch of negative things? Or are we in right relationship with God to where we commune with him on a regular basis, to where we listen to him, and to where we are striving to know him better and being known better by him? Amen? Now we're going to get into today some ways in which we can do this, because the Lord's good enough to give us the how-to when it comes to these things. But I'm here to tell you today, this is super important, this is absolutely critical, that we learn how to have this kind of fellowship with the Lord. Amen? So we started looking at the fact that we have this new and better covenant that we have. Being Christians, we are in covenant with God, is what the Bible says. And what does it say that covenant with God looks like? You got two basic relationships. You got a father and his son, and you got a husband and his bride. That's the way our new and better covenant is described. Why do you reckon that is? Because God is a family God. He's all about these relationships. He's the one that created this earth to function the way it does, to where we can enjoy having children and knowing what it's like to love our children, and also to be married to a spouse and what that kind of relationship, the give and take that's in that. God gave us the pleasures of this life like that because that's the way it is in the kingdom. That's the way it is with God. So we looked at the father-son relationship and we found out that there was a few ways in which children are to relate to their parents. And the first thing is that you see constantly repeated in the scriptures is the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, which has confused a lot of people because people think that means to be terrified or scared of God. Scared. For all of y'all that don't speak Southernese. How many of you know, would you consider it to be a good relationship between a parent and their child if their child was always scared of their parents? Absolutely not. So that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God either. No, the word fear there describes reverence, respect, or honor. Amen? So like a child is supposed to respect their parents, honor their mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, right? That's the way we're supposed to be with the Lord. Amen? And when we have that kind of relationship with God the way that it needs to be, guess what happens? Our relationship with God flourishes as a result of us going into this relationship with the utmost respect for him. He's God and you ain't. How many of you know that's one of the best revelations you can get in your life? He's God, you ain't. Amen? And when you learn to respect that, you start drawing near to this one in an attitude of worship and thanksgiving and praise, and now you're setting up for a good kind of fellowship. Amen? So we've got this fear of the Lord. You also got faith in God. That's another thing that's obviously very important to the Lord, right? Believing him. How many of you, it blesses you when your children are always questioning what you say? They act like they don't believe nothing you say, like you don't know nothing. Ah, daddy don't know nothing. Mama don't know nothing. They're disconnected. And your kids act like that, which they start to act like that as they get older, right? Right? Well, I'm here to tell you that right there is going to be a tendency in our relationship with God. Shouldn't be, though. What we should be doing is constantly submitting to God. I believe what you say. I might not be able to figure it out, but my trust is in you. I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to take you at your word, even though I can't figure it out. Amen? And then the final thing is the great commandment, which is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. So it's coming to God and approaching him from the standpoint of, I love him. I'm doing it because I actually enjoy being with him. Amen? This is where it comes down to with the father-son relationship. But we started last week talking about the husband-wife relationship. And ladies, here to tell you today, you need to go get the CD, DVD, or watch the message from last week, and then you give it to your husband. Amen. They need to hear what we were talking about last week, because we talked about our heavenly husband last week and found out that our heavenly husband is a giver. Amen. He is a one that dwells with us with understanding. Amen. So that we can be what? Joint heirs with him, heirs of the grace of life, man. I mean, he is the epitome of what an excellent husband is. And when you have that kind of relationship, when you understand God like that, you're going to want to spend time with him. You're going to want to be with him because he's wonderful. Amen? Today, we're going to talk about the husband and wife's relationship and how we relate one to another. So I'm going to get into some practical things. In fact, this is what I share a lot of times when it comes to marital counseling. All right? Things that we have learned in our marriage, things that are just good common sense and wisdom in our lives to understand. Because why? We can learn from how we can have a good marriage, how we can have a good marriage with the Lord. How many of you know that? We can actually learn how to have a good relationship with God by what works in this horizontal kind of a relationship. Amen? So we're going to learn things from the natural perspective, but it's also going to reflect into the spiritual perspective with God, and we will learn some great ways of spending time with the Lord, which tees me up pretty well this morning for the first point. The first thing that is absolutely imperative that we have in order to have a good relationship with our husband or wife, or anybody for that matter, is the time we spend. How many of you know you can spend time with people, and the more time you spend with them, the more you come to know them? It's absolutely amazing to me that for as long as Shannon and I have been married, this July, actually, here in a few days, we're not too far away from it, we're going to be married 20 years. Amen, amen. That is 20 years of pain and suffering for her. No, we've had to work through a lot of different things, you know, and stuff like that. But the thing is that through 20 years of spending time and living with each other, guess what you learn from that? You learn how to finish each other's sentences. You learn what they're feeling without them saying a word. How many of you guys that have been married for any period of time know when you've done something stupid without your wife ever saying anything? Amen. You know it, man. I mean, there is an atmosphere. You can feel it. It's like this unwritten thing. There's this thing that just stands out to let you know. Because when you spend time with people, the more time you spend there, the more you become one with them. Amen? That's the way it is with God. The more time you spend in God's presence, the more you come to know what he's thinking, know what he's feeling, know what he's saying. Amen? And that is the way Christianity is supposed to be. Amen? It's like with the Word of God. I've spent so much time in the Word of God in my life. Now what happens is God doesn't have to tell me to go turn to page 565 and look at the second verse of that chapter to know something. He just brings the verse up in me. Because why? I've already hid that verse in my heart. It's already there. And see, you're giving the Holy Spirit more room to work with that. So it comes through your time in the Word. It comes through your time in his presence. And when this happens, this quantity of time creates this kind of effect in our life. But how many of you know it's not just about quantity of time, it's about quality time. And that's a whole nother level right here. You can spend a lot of time with God. There's a lot of people out there that spend a lot of time in prayer, but they don't know God very well. Because why? The quality of it. Amen? So what we've got to learn is that when we're spending time there with him, we are really there with him. We're engaged. Our heart is there. Kind of like in our natural relationships. How many of you know you can spend a lot of time, you can live with somebody, and they can be there physically, but they ain't really there. Their mind's off somewhere else, fixing some problem. They're disconnected from you. There's no real engagement and stuff like that. That's not good. That's not conducive for a good relationship. You got to be engaged. It's got to be spirit, soul, and body. That's why the Lord said when it came to loving him, to love him not just with one part of you. He says to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we're talking about being fully vested and engaged when you are loving the Lord. So when I'm spending time with the Lord, it needs to be that I am fully there. Why is this so important? Because if you ever spent some time in prayer and your mind just leaves the room you're in and it's down the road chasing rabbits and fixing problems, that ever happened to you? It happened to all of us. And so what do you got to do? You got to go get your mind. Say, nope, right now. Sit down, shut up, and get engaged. Amen? See, we got to learn how to do that when it comes to our relationships with our spouses, right? We have to learn how to, in situations like that, although we might have all this stuff that we brought into this special time that we're spending with them, we've got to learn in that situation that, you know what, I need to leave that stuff at the door, and I need to be. Easier said than done. There is a lot of times where I come home from doing what I do, and it is really easy to bring those things with me. Kind of like a lot of y'all bring those things with you when you come to church on Sunday. You ever notice how that happens? You got all these different cares. We were on the way to church this morning, and my wife gave me an ugly look. So I got all twisted up. Something got stuck in my craw coming in here, and I didn't really let it go. And we come to church, and we got a good smile on, dressed nice. We're there. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. And we're just talking all the good Christianese around people and stuff like that. But really, on the inside, we ain't really there the way we need to be. Distracted, got things going on, and it might be happening with another person in the church. I'm telling you, if we came to church on a Sunday morning, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, 100% of us did that, these walls might very well shake. The glory of God, we probably wouldn't even be able to stand in this. That's really one of the main reasons why. Why does God show up more times than other times? Well, part of it has to do with how engaged you are. I mean, I got three people sitting right up here right now, okay? And you got three different experiences during worship, right? Michael might just, and if this isn't the way it is, just because y'all are the bookends, y'all are the negative. Y'all could be there and you're praising. I didn't really get anything out of that message. I didn't really get anything out of worship. And you know, Tony, same thing. He's like, yeah, I didn't feel either. It wasn't really, but nothing much to it. But Summer is just bawling and feeling the presence of God, has goosebumps up and down her arms, and is just sensing the presence of the Lord. And they all go to lunch later, and they're talking about it, and they're saying, man, I didn't feel nothing. She's like, man, I felt everything. How is that possible? Is it that God missed him and missed him and just fell right here? No, it is the engagement level we come into it with in our heart. It's the honor that we come before the Lord with. That's why some people feel it, some people don't. Amen? And that's why some marriages feel it and some marriages don't. It's because you've got to be engaged. All of you has to be in there. So there's the quantity of time, but there's the quality of time. Amen? All right, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to get out of order a little bit today. When I say get out of order of my plan. Ephesians chapter 5. You always got to be flexible with what the Lord wants us to do. Ephesians chapter 5, we got one of the best, most concise descriptions of what marriage is supposed to look like. And I want to share with you some of Pastor Trey's philosophy and idea of why the Lord told us what a marriage is supposed to look like, why the woman's supposed to do what she's supposed to do, and why the man's supposed to do what he's supposed to do. So today it's Treyology. Amen? So we got here in Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to notice in verse 22 how he gives us the roles and responsibilities of marriage. And he starts off with the wives. It's interesting, the Bible always starts off with the wives. Whenever it's talking about this, Angela's laughing. I'm not going to go any further because I might get in trouble if I say why. Wives, submit to your own husbands. That's interesting. It throws in own. That means that not every man's over and the head of every other woman. Talking about in the household, this is, in God's estimation, there is a proper rank and file. And the reason why this is important to get is because we live in a society today that wars against this. And it's not correct according to the biblical way things are. Amen. I mean, for example, I say my wife does this better than anybody I've ever seen in terms of what she, her role and her responsibility is in marriage. But does it ever look like to any of y'all that she's just getting run over and I'm lording it over her and I'm mistreating and abusing her and she's just a doormat? No. It's the healthy perspective of the way things are, because when things are done right according to God's pattern, it blesses everybody. Everybody's taken care of. Everybody receives the life that's intended in a relationship. So when he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now that's important right there. As to the Lord. Meaning what? Is that when you and I are doing a lot of the things we do, and this is related to how we are employed. How do we treat our supervisors? It says to, in those situations, obey them in all things in the Lord. Amen? What does that mean? That everything I do, I'm doing as unto the Lord, not as unto the people. Amen? And when I understand things that way, it makes it a whole lot easier to do it. Lord, this is the way you said to do it, so I'm going to do it, whether I feel like it or not. So he talks about submitting to your own husbands as to the Lord. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Let's keep reading. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Look at verse 25. Y'all liking where we're going in this? Y'all are hoping that this gets better. It really doesn't. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. I remember one time I was working, first job I had after I got saved, it was in a Christian bookstore. And I only worked with ladies. I only had ladies over there. I was the only guy. And I remember these other girls that were working there, we were talking about these very principles. And this was the concept. This was the idea that all those ladies were saying, because they were younger. And they said, well, I know the Bible says that. And I'll submit to my husband, and I'll do all these things it says when he loves me as Christ loves the church. Of course, I didn't have any more sense than I do now. And so I decided to chime in on that. I said, yeah, but those verses don't say to do that when your husband does his. See how quiet it got when I said that? It says you do your part, period. Just like the husband's supposed to do his part. In fact, ladies, a lot of times you might think you got a raw deal with these verses. I'm telling you, husbands loving your wives and being the Christ part in this and doing that part is a whole lot harder, a much higher standard than the women. Amen? But the fact is, everybody's got their own part to play. Now, this is the part where I said we're going to get into some theology on. That part wasn't. That's scripture. This part right here. Why did Paul make the point to tell the women what they're to do and the men what they're to do? Because, for example, when it talks about the wives submitting to their own husbands, did you know the verse right before verse 22 where it talked about wives doing that? The verse right before, look at verse 21. The 21st verse, he tells us that we are to submit to one another. So it's already telling us everybody's supposed to be doing this with everybody. So why are you going to turn around and identify the women that you need to be doing this in your marriage? And I'll tell you why. Because the same men and women are wired in such a way that as a general rule, men understand the whole submission to authority, the honor and the respect. Most guys kind of got that kind of wired in, and we're just built that way. And so when we're in our everyday life and doing things like that, we kind of get that kind of thing. And the ladies, they get the love thing. I mean, it's that motherly love thing. And women just know how to love better than men do as a general rule and stuff like that. So this is where the theology comes in. I think The Lord, through the Apostle Paul, was saying, hey, we're all supposed to be submitting to one another, and we're all supposed to be loving one another. So I'm going to show you that you need to be doing what doesn't come natural to you, while the other one does what doesn't come natural to them. In other words, work on the area in which you are lacking, while we're all supposed to be doing both of these things. Amen. It did get a little bit better this morning, didn't it? Amen. But the fact is it's not doing what comes natural. So think about this in terms of the relationship part with God. This is where I wanted to go with this. How many of you know God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, it was not natural for him to take on flesh and blood like Jesus. It was not natural for him to leave his throne in heaven and come down to the earth and become a servant to all people. That was not normal. That was not natural. Yet he did what was not expected and that which was uncommon. Likewise, when it comes to our relationship with God, in order to have the kind of relationship you need to have with him, you're going to have to do what doesn't seem to come natural. Which is what? This whole time spent with God thing that I was talking about. Have you ever tried to spend time with God and just tried to have a fellowship with him that we're preaching about and talking about? And boy, everything in you says you're wasting your time. You need to be doing something else. There is like a war going on in you that nothing's being profited by doing this because you don't feel him, you don't sense him. You're not hearing a voice back. You don't see anybody. You are talking to, in some ways, your imaginary friend. It can feel that way, even though that's not true and even though that's not reality. You've got to believe, you've got to submit, you've got to honor the fact that God says when you spend time with him, something good's being accomplished. Transformation is taking place. God really is there. You know, God is with you everywhere you go. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. He said that. But it doesn't always feel like he's there, does it? In fact, the exact opposite sometimes is the main feeling you get. Amen? I remember one time this minister, he was called to ministry, and he felt like, all right, Lord, if you're calling me into ministry, then I'm going to quit my job at the sawmill. He was in Oregon, and he worked at the local sawmill there, and he said, I'm just going to quit my job. If you're calling me into full-time ministry and all this, I'm just going to quit, and I'm going to give you 8 hours a day instead of the sawmill. So you know what he did? He quit his job, and he went and locked himself in a room for 8 hours a day to pray. Now, listen, I doubt very many people in here have ever prayed 8 consecutive hours, but you know what you're going to find out real quick? You're going to run out of things to pray about. You're going to be like, well, what do I pray about next? So when he was spending all this time, he was committed, he was devoted to doing it. Do you know what he did? He got in that place, and he prayed. He'd pray for all the missionaries around the world. He'd pray for his pastor. He'd pray for all the other people he knew. Pray for all the salvations he could think of. And then he'd run out of stuff to pray about. So he's like, just to pass the time, I'm going to just pray in tongues. Amen. And so he just prayed in the Spirit over and over and over for a long period of time. Later on in his ministry, people asked him and said, Dave, what did you feel prayed in tongues on? What kind of sensation and feeling did you get? He said, oh yeah, I felt a lot. I felt a dry mouth. I felt hoarse. I felt all these physical things of exhaustion. But no, in the natural, he didn't feel nothing. Now the cool thing about it was, he pressed through and spent the time that he had committed to doing anyways. And so then eventually, somebody came and knocked on the door one day. Oh, good break in all this boredom of praying for 8 hours. And this person said, hey, they're having this kind of special meeting down the road. Would you like to come to it, Dave? He said, anything to get out of this prayer closet, amen, because he was bored as could be. And so he goes, and he's sitting in this particular prayer meeting, and the speaker was about as boring as he could possibly be. Everything about the meeting was just religious, and it was just dry as cracker juice. And he was sitting there, and all of a sudden he looked over, this lady was sitting there, and he looked over at her, and it was like he had an x-ray image of her hip. You know those x-ray images where you can see, and it's got the bone and everything? And he saw this x-ray image. It was a vision that God was giving. And he saw this, and he saw this, like, this highlighted area, if you will, of her hip. And he knew something wrong with her hip physically. And so he was like, wow, that's interesting. So he looks back, he rubs his eyes, and back again, it's still there. And so what he does is he asks the lady, he says, leans over while the meeting's going on, leans over and says, ma'am, is there something wrong with your left hip? And she goes, well, yes there, sonny, there is something wrong. I've had arthritis in there for years and this and that. And he goes, praise God! And she was like, excuse me? No, praise God. God just showed me this because he's going to heal you today. And long story short, he prays over her. Her leg shoots out. She gets immediately healed. And all a ruckus broke free. Revival broke forth through his ministry. And this was the thing that got him to that place. It was because all those hours for those weeks and months that he had been spending time with the Lord, quantity of time and quality time, was doing something in him and setting something up in him for this moment. But he had no physical manifestation that proved that was what was happening. But sometimes you just got to do it because the Lord said you're doing something good when you do it. Amen. First faith, followed by feelings. It's always that way, praise God, man. Amen. I remember one time I'd come into church and you know, you're not always going to feel like it. You're just not always going to feel like it. There's always going to be these things that come against you. And I was always the person in the front of the church that was praising God. And when in praise and worship time, I'm telling you, it was funny because I just ran into a guy up in Athens when I was up there this week, and he said, I remember you from back in those days. He was recalling, I don't even remember all this. He said, you'd be running and dancing up the aisles with this little handkerchief in your hand, and you'd be waving it, like the old Pentecostals, just excited about what the Lord had done. Well, I came to church. I had times where, yeah, I felt like doing that a lot, but there were times where I came to church, and I didn't feel like praising God. But I had enough sense to know, if I don't praise God the same way when I don't feel like it, I'm a hypocrite. So I make a decision, I'm going to start praising the Lord, even when I don't feel like it, even when it's hard. And you know what was awesome? When I did this at this one particular service, boy, the feelings came. I started feeling like it. Because why? I pressed through what was hard and what my flesh was telling me wasn't working, and I made it happen. Because why? I chose to do the things, spend my time doing the things that Amen? It is that way when it comes to spending time with the Lord. You're getting closer to Him. You're spending time in His presence. When two or three are gathered together in His name, He is there in the midst of it, whether they feel it or not. Stuff has happened, and you got to walk by faith when it comes to this, especially when it comes to this personal time with the Lord. So let's talk about this time with God a little bit more, okay? Because I've come up with, when it comes to this time you spend with God, I've come up with, there's basically two things that make for a good relationship, two kinds of time, okay? The first one is the special times. Now, think about it in your marriage. You have the special times, which are what? The dates, the intimate moments, the times where you go away for a weekend or for a week or something like that. It's the special times where y'all set aside some time and devote some time to be with the other person. Amen. Let me give you some scriptures, in fact, when it comes to this, because I want to show you how Jesus himself did this. Amen. Let's go to that Luke passage. Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. When you study the life of Jesus, you'll notice he had these, I call them, dates with deity all the time. debates with deity. Luke 6:12. Now it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So what does this mean? Jesus went out and stayed up all night praying. Now, I'm not giving you a mandate to go do that, but I will tell you, if the Lord Jesus Christ could make it in staying up all night and praying to God, you and I can miss an hour every now and then. And I'm telling you, the reason why this is important is because the same way as a husband and wife have to carve out, because life can get busy, right? You have to carve out time to make sure you're having those special times with one another. Because why? Life gets real busy, particularly early on in a marriage. Early on in a marriage, you're usually starting out in your career, so you got your attention into that. You start having kids, and that starts to placing a demand on all your attention and energy. And so you've got to carve out, you got to make time for this. So what you're going to see is, what Jesus was doing is, he had his everyday responsibilities in his ministry. And most of the time, the Lord would carve out these special times with his Father, either really early in the morning or at night. He made the time when he might have been taking it, using it to do something else, right? Like when we like to, oh, I got to have my 8 hours of sleep. Oh, I got to have this, or I ain't going to be worth it nothing. Well, first of all, stop saying that. It's not really true. You ever notice that when you have to get up for work and your alarm goes off for work or something you don't want to do, you want to keep hitting the snooze button, right? But when it's something you want to do, just spring up. It's almost amazing. You even wake up earlier than your alarm's going to go off sometimes because of the things you really want to do. That's usually only a couple of times in my life that actually happens. And no, it's not on Sunday mornings. It's on Master's morning. Hallelujah. If I'm going, oh yeah, man, no problem getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. See, you will make time. Your heart will be into the thing that your heart wants to do. Amen? Always remember this. When people say, oh, well, my schedule's too tight, I don't have time to do this or this and that. No, they're not making time. That means there's other things more important. That's the fact of the matter. When it comes to the things of God, you got to make time. Amen? Because of how important it is. Mark 1:35. Look at this one. Now in the morning, having risen, this is talking about Jesus, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place and there prayed. I'm here to tell you, and I've had this as an experience in my life, the best times, personally, I think, to spend time, quality and quantity of time with the Lord, is early in the morning. And here's the reason why. Because number one, you're giving him the first part of your day. It's like you're tithing your day to him, so you're putting him first. Number two, your mind hasn't gotten into that place to where it's gotten into thinking and fixing problems. So there's a little bit more of a quietness and a stillness there to where you can contact him better. And I think Jesus got this. So in the morning, he rose a long while before daylight. Amen? I keep thinking of this, so I'm just going to say it. Do you remember when Abraham was called to go sacrifice Isaac on the altar? Remember that? The Bible tells us that when he was called to do this, he rose early that morning to go do it. It makes a point to tell us how early he got up to do it. So it goes into that line with what I was just saying. See, we watch all those movies about Abraham going and doing it, and he's wringing his hands. Oh, I don't really want to do it. I don't want to obey God because we think that's how hard it would be to be called to do something like that. No, Abraham got up early, man. He was excited to obey God. Amen. Because he knew God was going to have to raise him from the dead, Hebrews tells us. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. This is an interesting one. Speaking of Jesus again, it says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Okay? Now I want you to notice in this verse, There's three references to seclusion, being by yourself. First thing, he sent the multitudes away. Next, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And last, he was alone there, showing us that your time spent with the Lord needs to be absent of all distractions. Now, in our case, we might be able to do that without a physical person with us, but in most of our cases, it's going to be turn your phone off. You know how it is? Some of us are so busy and we're so attached to that phone. We want to know everything. We got instant information here all the time. I'm telling you right here, I'd be interested in one time if you're supposed to be spending time with God and your phone goes off like you got a notification and you open it and God says, do you have time for me? Amen? Do you remember when Ananias, the one that baptized Paul in the Holy Ghost? This guy was just doing a daily activity. He was there just doing whatever. And the Lord spoke to him and said his name. And I love what he said. I am here, Lord. I wonder how many times the Lord has called us. He's spoken out our name, and we weren't there. We were physically there, but we weren't responsive. And we didn't respond with the gift. Now, not throwing stones, we've all done that, myself included. But what I am saying is we need to get better at that, to where when the Lord comes calling, he's trying to get your attention, and he's calling you to come away with him, that we respond. And we say, Lord, I am sensitive to that, and if it means me missing some sleep, I will. A lot of times the Lord will do that. He'll wake you up in the middle of the night. That ever happened to anybody in here? No, you're supposed to do it. You don't even know what you might be praying for. He might be having you intercede for a person that's going to die. And you might be the one that would save their life. I'm telling you, I've heard of testimonies like that happening. Finally, let me give you one more from after Jesus was raised from the dead, so you see that this isn't just what Jesus did. But in Acts 16:25, a very familiar passage here that we oftentimes talk about, the importance of praying and praising even when you're in a tough patch, right? And how the doors of the prison door, the chains fell off and it opened the doors. Oftentimes, we give all the attention to when this happens, but we miss when it did happen. Look what it says. But at midnight. And I'll tell you, the Lord showed me this week, and this is a word for somebody in this place. Your chains and your bondage that you want to get free from isn't going to just happen because you praise God and because you pray. It's going to happen when you do it, when you make an effort and say, Lord, I'm going to carve it out. I'm going to do it when it's hard. With most of us, if the Lord says, I want you to pray for an hour from 12 to 1, when you got to get up early the next morning, it'd be an automatic no. I'm telling you, sometimes when we choose to do it because we're devoting that time to the Lord is the catalyst. It's the key that breaks us free from those things. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing that in all of these examples, very early in the morning, at midnight, carving out special time, dates with the Lord, intimate moments with him that are conducive to us living the calling out that God has called us to. Amen? But finally, let me share this with you. How many of you know that a good, successful, prosperous marriage... Oh, the title of my message today is A Merry Marriage. The key, the catalyst to a merry, happy marriage is not just spending time communicating with the person during those special moments. It's the constant communication when you are in the hustle and bustle, busy part of the day. Amen? You know where I learned this from? One of the best examples I ever saw of this was in Marty Blackwelder, our church. When I was early on in the Lord, he came to the church that I attended up in Athens. And my pastor invited me to go to lunch with him and his family. And when we were out with him, we were at a pizza parlor, and I just noticed that this guy constantly was doing this. all the time, he was just in the midst of just conversing with us and eating his pizza. He was like, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. Hey, how are you doing today? Tell me a little bit. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, just constantly was staying connected with God in the midst of all the busy. And that's the same thing that happens with a successful marriage. When the kids are screaming, when you got to wash the dishes, when all the stuff has to be done around the house, and everything else is going on, can you connect with your spouse in that moment, or is it not till you turn the lights off and you get into bed? See what I'm saying? This right here is the key for us having a better relationship with the Lord. Because a lot of us, we spend that personal time with God. We have those special times with God. We know how to get away with Him sometimes. And maybe we have a little time we do it every morning with Him. What the Lord wants us to learn how to do is the same way we're connected with that phone, we're staying connected with people like that, keep the lines open. Don't hang the phone up. All right, I pray with the Lord this morning. And that 15 minutes with the Lord felt like an hour. No, it shouldn't be that way. That hour felt like 15. And then when I get out of that time with the Lord, hang the phone up, and I'm out doing all this other stuff. Until later, when maybe something comes up, and I want to reconnect with the Lord, and I say my little prayers at night. That's better than what most people do. I'm telling you, there's a better way. And the better way is to do what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it is, verse 18. Yes. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you know what he said right on the heels of this? Pray without ceasing. Does that mean Paul expects us that when I'm at work, I'm clocked in. I'm on somebody else's time. Oh, hold on one second. And I pray to the Lord. And that we're in this posture, in this position, and doing the thing that we think. No, no, no. Praying without ceasing is simply keeping the lines open. I'm staying connected with the Lord, like I just gave you the example with Marty. I'm constantly staying connected with Him. I am aware of Him, knowing He's aware of me. And I am communicating throughout the day with Him. Amen? There's another scripture over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, which is on the heels of spiritual warfare, which is really interesting. Because why? This is what ties a bow all of his exhortations on how you deal with the devil and his men. What is it? Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Have you ever noticed how the Bible ties together watching and praying? You ever notice that? What does that mean? I need to be looking for something. I need to be watching out. No, that's not what that means. What it means is being spiritually alert. Amen. Like having your head, spiritually speaking, having your head on a swivel. I'm constantly aware of what is going on with the Lord. So when I go to Walmart, I take the Lord with me. Some of y'all know, if you're going to Walmart, you better take the Lord with you. Amen? And when you go into the marketplace, I know the Lord's with me. Amen? I'll tell you where I've been guilty of this in my life. When I'd go play golf, it's just me, man. I wouldn't take the Lord with me. And I started realizing I'd gone out there and I was playing like, it was terrible. Sorry, I said the wrong word there. I was playing like crap. It was so bad. And I'm like, dang, this is terrible. And I'm riding in a cart by myself and I said, and I finally had the sense to say, Lord, why don't you come play with me? God is my witness. The next couple of shots I hit from there look like Tiger Woods, man. I was like, why had I not been praying that all along? Amen. I wish it did work that way all the time, but see, you got to stay connected. Take the Lord to do things with you, man. Amen. He's with you anyways, right? If he's there and he knows everything and he's trying to talk to you, what do you need to do? Talk back to him. This is the praying always, praying without ceasing, staying connected with him. And it's like the good marriage where the couple learns how to communicate with the hustle and bustle of life. You and I learn how to walk with God. I'll end with this. Wasn't planning on saying none of this. You ever remember the story of Enoch? Oh, man. Not much is given to us in the Bible about this man named Enoch. But I think he was, I might have this wrong, but he was the great-great-grandson of Adam. Something like that. Bottom line was, he was still alive when Adam was still alive. Okay? And remember, Adam was the one that walked with God in the garden. Just spent time with the Lord. Not to save people, not to fix things, just to be with him. And Adam screwed up, gets kicked out of the garden. I imagine great-great-grandson Enoch goes to Adam. Great-great-granddaddy, can you tell me what it was like to walk with God in paradise? Shh, tell me what it was like. And he's interested, right? And Adam tells him how beautiful it was, how wonderful his presence was. And so you know what Enoch decides to do? I might not be in the garden anymore. I might not be in paradise anymore. But I'm going to do what great-great-granddaddy. And I'm going to walk with God too. And the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God and he was not. That's a King Jimmy way of saying he walked with God and God just said, man, I got to have this boy with me. And he raptures him up to heaven. He took him. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, more trilogy, why I believe he took him. Because he made a decision. While Adam walked with God when he could see him, Enoch walked with God when he couldn't see him. He walked with God by faith. And because he walked with God by faith, like the Bible says, it's impossible to please God without faith. But what does that mean? It's more possible to please God with more faith. And he decides, I'm going to walk with God without feeling nothing, without seeing nothing, and things like that. And he's having this relationship with God. He's taking God with him into everyday life, and he's doing it by faith. And God gets such a big smile on his face and loves what this dude is doing so much. He's like, I got to have this guy up in heaven with me right now. So, whew, there he goes. If you want to be raptured into another level with God, walk with him. And it's going to take us doing what good old Brother Lawrence, not a member of High Point Church, he wrote a book. Brother Lawrence said, which was what? Practice the presence. You have to practice it. You have to learn how to do it. You have to stay sensitive, stay connected. And Lord, I'm just going to walk with you today. Try this on a Monday, on a Tuesday. But you know what, Lord? I'm going to get up this morning. I'm going to spend some time with you. I'm going to devote some time. I'm going to give you some special time. And then when I go to work and I got my normal things, I want to walk with you today. And you endeavor in your heart and mind that I'm going to communicate with God throughout the day. I'm going to include him in my day. Pretty interesting what would happen if you include him in all the things that you're trying to fix on your own. When you got the one that knows everything with you all the time that could give you the answers and you don't ask him. And you're including him, you're asking him, and all this kind of stuff. Let's get raptured together. Amen? In the presence of the Lord, by doing what? Walking with God. Through quantity of time, quality of time. Through the special times, and through the other times of constantly communicating with the Lord. This is what makes a merry marriage. In the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? Let's stand on our feet then. Thank you, Jesus. Radical. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to get us into a radical level of living. Hallelujah. It's just a wonderful place to be. And I'm telling you, man, he's there. Accessible. Let's not be carnal and trying to always get it from the natural side of things. God will fill you up. He'll make that right. Praise the Lord, we love you. And we acknowledge you in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for always being there. Always willing to know us, communicate with us, walk with us. Lord, help us to get outside of ourselves, to start walking in the Spirit, walking in, enjoying you in our everyday, staying connected, spending these times with you, and developing and cultivating our personal relationship. We know this is what will fulfill us. We know this is what will fill our cups up. The Lord is showing me something that he said through the prophet Jeremiah, that my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn for themselves cisterns that can hold no water. What does that mean? That means that we've left the source, the well of life that's there, and we've turned to other things trying to catch water on our own that only has cracks in it and can't ever hold that kind of contentment and satisfaction. And the Lord's saying, it's as simple as this. Do an about face, turn from those cisterns that you've developed. Come to me and drink from these wells. Very simple. The simple act. And the Lord had spoken to me the past couple of days, and I felt led to share this with you guys, about how I had made the mistake in my life of allowing the wells that I have drank from to be clogged up. And the Lord said, when he showed me that, he said, an enemy has done this. Dig out those wells and drink from them again. The things where you know you met with the Lord. Do what Abraham did. And that when he made a wrong turn and went to Egypt, he went to the world to try to draw his satisfaction. And when there was a drought, when there was a famine, what did he do? He went back to Bethel. He went back to the house of the Lord. That's what Bethel meant. He went back to that place where the presence of God was. Like the prodigal, he returned home. The Lord is beckoning some of us to return to Bethel, get back into his presence, enjoyed it before, because he wants to meet you. Wants to meet you. Wants to meet you. Thank you. Our prayer ministers come forward now. Lord, thank you today that this is a moment, this is an opportunity for us to draw near to you, knowing you will draw near to us. To come, meet the Lord, if this is you. You've never made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior? Come. If you need to get back in fellowship with the Lord, come. This is the time to make a step in the right direction. Trust him. He will meet you. I get an amen. Amen. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you for the opportunity to walk with you. Honor and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.